to take care of the worship service. And we got there, and I sent the kids off with some money for Sunday school, and they came running back and said, Sunday school's over. So it's a good thing we decided to go to Sunday school, or I would have missed the worship service if I decided to go to the worship service. So I don't throw any stones at people. I live in a glass house, so I wouldn't throw any stones at people who get late or forget about daylight savings time. As Joel said, we've been going through the fruit of the Spirit, and today we come to the fourth fruit of the Holy Spirit listed in Galatians 5. Oh, you know what? I forgot my scripture lesson. Let me read that first. I got talking there, and then we'll move into that. 1 Timothy 6 and 11 through 16. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. So as I said, we're going to be going on to the fruit of patience, the fourth fruit of the Spirit. Now, in a society that is filled with anxiety, ulcers, tension headaches, heart attacks, strokes, patience is a very much needed fruit. How many times do we hear on the news where some traffic accident or occurrence and one person, the road rage, they get impatient with one another and they end up fighting with one another, people get hurt, people even get shot. Just the impatience is remarkable. And I'll tell you another little funny story, my own impatience. And I'm sad to say, it happens to me when I drive sometimes that I need prayer. And one time I was driving my daughter Deborah to the doctor's, and my granddaughter Julia was in the safety seat in the back seat. And so as we were going to the doctor's, somebody was slowing me down a little bit. We were a little bit late, and what do I always say? It slips my mind now. I said something like, "Move it, pal," to the driver in front of me. And so anyway, I'm driving along, and we got to the doctor's. And then we're driving back, and it was a construction zone. As soon as you see construction, you should just say, "Well, I'm going to be slowed down." So anyway, car got in front of me, and it was going very slow. And from the back seat, I hear, "Move it, pal." So your kids are always watching you, and your grandkids are watching you and learning from you. So she told them. But anyway, you got to watch out for being impatient. So. And we're not bearing the fruit of patience in our lives, and we end up bringing the diseases of anxiety upon ourselves. We get short-tempered, and we're just as impatient as unbelievers. So as we examine the fruit of patience today, we're going to observe three major biblical teachings. First, we're going to briefly observe the patience demonstrated by God. Second, we will observe the patience required of the saints, of those who call themselves the children of God, Christians. And third, we will observe ways to cultivate the fruit of patience, to cultivate that fruit. Now, let's briefly observe the patience that God has demonstrated towards mankind. In Numbers 14:18, we read, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. The long-suffering, or the patience of God, was first demonstrated when Adam and Eve sinned. God would have remained perfectly righteous if he destroyed the whole world and began over at this time. But instead of destroying the world, God demonstrated his love and patience by promising to send a Savior in Genesis 3:15, the Protevangelion. And then throughout the Old Testament, we see the patience of God demonstrated over and over in his relationship with Israel, his chosen people. Israel sins and worships idols over and over again. We especially think of the book of Judges when we think of this. And when Israel sincerely repents, over and over again, God patiently forgives them and he sends a deliverer. He hears their prayers. He's patient. God inspired Paul to speak of God's long-suffering toward all believers in 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16. We read this. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost of all. And yet for this reason I found mercy, in order that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. The word that's translated perfect patience here means long-tempered in the Greek. The idea is that Christ did not vent his wrath upon us when he had every right to. When we think of the times that the people tried to take Jesus and stone him, and especially when they finally did take him to whip him and crucify him, we can only be amazed at his long-suffering and patience. Think about them. Come down from that cross if you're the Christ. But he didn't. He knew what God had sent him to do. And he stayed there, took our sins upon himself. We must also look at ourselves today. Some of us could have cared less about Jesus, and yet he brought us to himself and saved us. Even now, as believers, we sometimes sin in thought and deed, and we see him still demonstrating his long-suffering and patience toward us. He doesn't cast us away, but he patiently convicts us of our sin through the Holy Spirit working within us so that we may repent and turn towards righteous behavior. Now that we are God's people through Jesus Christ, we are to show forth godly patience in our lives. Slow down. Think before you think sometimes the things we're thinking, and control that, and then that will help control your actions. So we see again, just as with all the fruit of the Holy Spirit, this long-suffering patience must have God at its root. God as provider, God as example. Much more could be said, but let's go to our second major point, the patience required of the saints. As we consider this point, we come to another Greek word that's usually translated patience. It has the idea of abiding or remaining under something. It is sometimes translated endurance or perseverance. Hogg and Vine, their Bible commentators, point out the subtle differences between long-suffering and patience. So I'll quote them. Long-suffering is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation, which does not hastily retaliate or promptly punish. It is the opposite of anger and is associated with mercy, and it's used of God. Patience is the quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. It is the opposite of despondency and is associated with hope. It is not used of God. It's used of people-to-people relationships. I remember hearing a story one time about one Christian was meeting another Christian and hadn't seen each other for a while. And the one Christian said to the other Christian, how are you? How are things going? And the second Christian said, oh, all right, under the circumstances. And the first Christian said to him, what are you doing under the circumstances? You're a Christian. You should be on top of the circumstances. And not letting the circumstances get you down, being under them. And I thought, I remembered that when I heard that, I thought, that's really a good thought for us. What are we doing under the circumstances? And as we go on also, this Greek word for patience is the one that's used to describe the seed in the good ground in the parable of the sower and the seed. You know what? If someone could do me a favor, usually I like the lights on. For some reason, I'm getting a glare off my notes. Let me see if I... Yeah, that's better. That's better. It's like I'm having to go. If you see me going like this, I'm not dodging anybody out there. I'm trying to get around the glare on my notes. Again, the Greek word for patience is the one that's used to describe the seed in the good ground in the parable of the sower and the seed. In Luke 8:15, we read, and the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance, bear fruit with patience. Now let's consider the patience of the saints towards God. That sounds strange, patience towards God, but just follow me here. The place we usually have difficulty with here is in patiently waiting for God to answer our prayers. We may pray for years and years for someone to be saved, or whatever it might be. I know I prayed for years and years for relatives to be saved, and old friends from many, many, many years ago. And sometimes we get impatient. We must learn to wait for God to answer as he sees fit and when he sees fit. We must have the faith to know his timing and will are perfect and then patiently persevere in that knowledge. A second place we must demonstrate patience toward God is in the tribulations we suffer in this life here on earth. And we see this in Hebrews 12, and I'll begin at verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. God knows what we need to go through to be purified and to learn patience and be more and more fit for his service. Always remember, always, you've heard me say it many times in sermons here, we know that God has taken care of our greatest need. It took his Son coming to suffer and die on the cross for our sins. We're saved from our sins. We're saved from the power of Satan. We're saved. We've delivered from the deceptions of the world around us. We're on our way to heaven. To be absent from our body is to be present with the Lord. Our greatest problem is solved forever. And so wait on the Lord. These other things we're going through, who knows, that illness you're going through, that problem, right down the road, there's someone who needs to be witnessed, someone whom the Lord has chosen before the foundation of the world, and that experience you're going through and your suffering is going to be able to connect with them, and you'll be able to speak to them as no one else can. Your pastor or your ruling elders or that you're the one, and the plan, it's coming down the road. And when that person says, well, I have this problem, I have had cancer of whatever, and they say, you know what, I have that too. And then the connection starts, and then you can speak to them of the cancer of sin that they have, that only Jesus can cure. Just think how we can glorify God if when we are sick, we continue to praise him for Jesus Christ and the eternal healing we have in him. When the world expects us to complain, we instead praise him and patiently endure in our illness. God may even use a testimony like that to save one of our loved ones. But we should demonstrate the fruit of patience, not only in sickness, but in times of sorrow or any time we are tempted to complain. When the world expects us to say something like, why me? We think, you know what? Why you, as far as your salvation is concerned? I think about my own life. I look at relatives and old friends, and I remember when I was in that hippie commune down in Florida so many, many years ago, and my two friends, they didn't stay up to hear this man talk about Jesus and about the Bible. I stayed up to argue with him when I heard he was going to be doing that, and the Lord shut my mouth and made me listen, and I heard him say, Jesus says this, and the Bible says this, and Jesus says that, and the Bible says that. And I realized I was going to argue with this guy, and I'd never read the Bible. And when I got back to New Jersey, I got hold of a Bible, and the Lord saved me through reading the Bible. And my two friends, as far as I know, they're still lost. I stayed up by God's grace and heard him. And so we look back. It sounds like an old saying, but count your blessings. And the number one blessing, salvation. You're not going to burn in hell, brothers and sisters. The world could end. Right now, a jet could come crashing in on this church building, it's happened in other buildings more than once, we're right in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're ready to go. Your greatest problem is solved. Over and over, you need to hear that. A lot of times I've said to people, one of my jobs as a preacher is to remind you how wealthy you are, how blessed you are. It's like you have a big diamond, you know, it's like big and it's perfect and it's shiny and everything else. And maybe during the week, what you've done is let a lot of dust get on it, and maybe a little bit of pizza or a little bit of whatever you're eating. It's just gotten dirty and dirty, and maybe some other junk has fallen on that beautiful diamond. You just are not valuing it as you should, and I help you to clean it off on Sunday as a preacher. So here it is. Look how rich you are. Look how blessed you are. And it lifts you up and reminds you, and then in this particular case today, we should be patient. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Now, we should also think about everyday general tribulations we might have on the job, let's say. Peter speaks to this in 1 Peter 2, beginning of verse 18. He says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if, because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." That's a hard one. So we must be conscious that God expects us to be patient, even in unfair situations. We never know when God will use that unexpected display of patience to build up the saints, or even to draw an unsaved person to himself. I'll tell you a little story. I always have a little story, don't I? Saved initially, I was talking about it a little bit in Sunday school. I would go around in my car, and back, it doesn't seem like there are too many hitchhikers anymore. I don't know if there are more laws against, or they're just afraid of all the nuts who might pick them up, and or what it is. But I used to hitchhike a lot. I hitchhiked all the way out to California, San Francisco, and back again. I would pick up hitchhikers to witness to them. And this one day I was driving down, I lived up in Whippany, New Jersey then, and I was driving down Whippany Road, and I saw this guy. Boy, did he look scruffy. I mean, you know, I was a hippie and everything else, but he just was really scruffy looking. I said, well, I was scruffy looking one time, I figured, to someone probably. I picked him up, and I was witnessing to him, and telling him, you know, a lot of times I would talk to them a little bit, and then I would say something like, well, let me ask you a question. What do you think about Jesus Christ? And then I would listen to whatever they had to say, and then I would tell them what the Bible has to say about their sin, about Jesus, about he's the only way, they need to repent. You know, I had a whole thing worked out on how to witness to hitchhikers. Well, this guy, I drove him into Marsh. He said, going to Marshtown. I said, well, I'm going to Marshtown too. And I ordered jewelry for my two younger sisters. I think they were even Christmas gifts, as I remember. It's been a long time. And it was late. They were like a couple months late. I'd been there before. And so I was going there one more time. And when I got to Marshtown, he wanted to hear more about Jesus and about the Bible. So he was walking along with me. And I went into the jewelry store in Marshtown up there, and they still didn't have it. And so I was very patient. So, you know, I guess the Holy Spirit was really working in me that day, because I was very patient. About it. I said, well, you know, things happen, and it's okay. And, you know, when do you, you know, really be nice to get it in. You know, it was supposed to be a Christmas gift for my two younger sisters. And And so, and that was that. And I walked out, and I remember his name was Jack Ritter. He came to profess faith in Christ, and he worked with us in a Christian coffee. He came to know the Lord by God's grace. But Jack Ritter, and Jack said to me as when we walked out, "Oh," he said, "I would have been yelling and screaming at them, and that, you know, was supposed to be here at Christmas, and nah, nah, nah." He said, "This, I would have been." And he said, and so the patience I displayed by God's grace meant something to him. It was, and so he wanted to hear more, and I took him. I think I bought him a hamburger at the 5 and 10 near Kresge's or Woolworths or whatever it was, and he just rode around with me that day. So it's, you never know. So I'm not patting myself on the back. It was all of God's grace that that had happened. And another area of Christian life that calls for patience is our relationship with other Christians. In Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 1, we read this: "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of his calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, with gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And just remember that. A lot of, as I said, these, a lot of these intertwine. Self-control is the last fruit we'll be considering, but it takes, that's it. You have to kind of think before you speak. You know, the old self might be rearing its ugly head, as I told you earlier about my impatience with driving, and move it, pal, and that whole thing. And I have to, sad to say, I still do it, but a lot of times I do it since Julia, my granddaughter, had "move it, pal," you know, that one time, and ever since then it's become kind of a joke. You know, I kind of have to laugh at myself, but we really need to exercise that self-control to be patient sometimes. So one of the things we need to do is be patient with each other's differences, and not just in small things, but in larger matters. You have to really think, is this really that important that I need to get in an argument with my brother or sister in the Lord? And in 1 Corinthians 6, beginning of verse 4 there, Paul even tells us, really, this is really quite remarkable. It's tells us, if a brother or sister cheats us out of money, it's better to be defrauded than to go to a secular court, a worldly court, and for them to settle the matter. He expects the elders of the church to settle these matters so that the name of Christ is not publicly shamed by what some of his saints may do. So that's a very powerful statement there. Now, I want to say this. I always try to be balanced. On the other hand, having patience does not mean we allow anything to go on in the church and people who call themselves Christians to do exactly as they please and step all over us. No, we're not talking about that. In 2 Thessalonians 3, 5 through 7, we read this: "Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and patience of Christ. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you." In other words, they start breaking the commandments, if they start abusing brothers and sisters in the church, we have to deal with them. Church discipline. Patience doesn't mean that you're going to let everybody step all over you. May have to deal with it. You may have to be confronted. Now, we're not only to be patient in these general tribulations and with the saints, but we must also be patient under tribulation for preaching the gospel. And we see this in 2 Corinthians 6. We read, "We then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" And they talks about not giving any offense, you know, and that he was imprisoned, he was entombments and labors and sleeplessness, all these things. And he says, we still have to be long-suffering when we're preaching the gospel. It's true that when Jesus sent them out two by two, remember, he said to, for them to witness, but if they refused to witness, they were supposed to just move on to the next town. So, but we should try to be patient with people's ignorance. A lot of times, people think they know what Jesus said, and they don't. You know, it's kind of like he's called the Prince of Peace. Well, the idea is he makes peace between God and us. That's the Prince of Peace. Because if Jesus himself said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring trouble between families, you know, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, that there would be people will disown you because you've come to Christ. And so a lot of people they want to hear, everything is always peaceful. No, no. And so we have to realize that there's a limit, but we have to be careful in our witnessing. Now, the verse 4 tells us that we must have much endurance as we dwell on God's patience with us and other believers' patience with us before we were saved. It will be easier to be patient with those who persecute us for the gospel's sake now. Have to remember back, believers being patient with us. As we think of what the unbeliever faces if he persists in rejecting the gospel, it's easy to be patient with them. They're on their way to eternal torment. Again, if there's a nastiness and refusal and everything, move on. Say, well, I'll commit you into the Lord's hand. I'll pray for you. I'm going to move on. That's important. And Jesus told us to not cast our pearls before swine. And he told his disciples to leave the towns that wouldn't receive them, as I said earlier. Now, finally, how do we cultivate the fruit of the Spirit? This fruit of the Spirit, we must recognize our need for patience, pray for the Holy Spirit to enable us. And second, we need to study God's word and learn from the general teachings and the examples of patience he has recorded for us. Not only is Jesus our perfect example, but also examples like David. Do you remember what David did when he had opportunity to kill Saul? Did he kill him? No, he backed off, and he committed that into the Lord's hands, you know, dealing with Saul. And so we think of Joseph, time and time again, his brothers sold him into slavery, and then he was such a good servant, and then he wouldn't have committed adultery with his master's wife, and then he got that was all thrown out. He was lied about, ended up in prison again, but he constantly was working to serve the Lord. And in fact, when the woman wanted him to commit adultery, he said, I can't sin against my master, and I can't sin against God. And that he would remain faithful. And then ultimately, the Lord had a purpose in all of that, and he was used to save many, and he was used to save his own family, the covenant family of God. And so we have to look at those examples. And then finally, just as with the other fruit of the Spirit, we must exercise our new wills as new creatures in Christ and determine to bear the fruit of patience. Plan how we will act in certain situations, especially those things that regularly make us impatient. Like I said, when I drive and people are slowing me down, you know, it's I've got to say, wait a second. In fact, one time I remember there was a man I knew, a believer, and he just, red lights would just bend him out of shape. He was like, oh, how do I get all these red lights? And I said to him, you know what, a way of looking at the red lights for you, or when you're slowed down, and it's for me too, is perhaps there's an accident you're going to, if you were allowed to go faster, right up ahead, there's a concrete truck could run right into you, and you're being slowed down and even hitting all the red lights because God's preserving you from something terrible up ahead. And so we start kind of train ourselves to think that our little purposes aren't really that great. And if we're going to be late to something, we'll be late to something. That's just the way it is. So God expects you to bear the fruit of patience in that difficult situation. Husbands and wives, parents and children, brothers and sisters in the flesh, brothers and sisters in the spirit, employers and employees, in all our relationships, let us pray and let us exercise our newly created wills by the power of the Holy Spirit to bear that fruit of patience. If anyone came in today not knowing the patience of God towards your sin, God is reaching out to you through this congregation. They have me up in this pulpit today to tell you you're a sinner and you need Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. He said it. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. Repent of your sins, trust in Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you will be saved. May God have mercy on you and give you the grace to believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your great love. We thank you for saving us, for keeping us. We thank you for your patience with us. Even as your children, we are not all that we should be. And please forgive us. Please enable us to show forth that we really are your children, to demonstrate your patience in our lives. And we pray that you'd come soon, Lord Jesus, and pray in your precious name. Amen.